Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim Daf Samach Beis, and we will begin on Daf Samach Beis Omer Aleph on the top line Omer Rabbi Yosef. As we learned in the previous shiur, the Gemara taught us that the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was 28 by 28 Amos. The Gemara said that the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was 32 by 32 Amos. And the Gemara now is has been discussing why was the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni larger than the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. So Amar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef gives us another reason. And as Rashi interestingly points out, that even though in the previous Gemara it was Rabbi Yosef that said that the reason why the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was larger than the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was because they had the Fayim and the Shemayim in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they didn't have that strong fire. Rabbi Yosef here is the one that gives a different reason. For as Rashi says, and we've counted this numerous times, Rabbi Yosef, we know, got ill and forgot his learning. And therefore, yesterday he said one pshat, but now he came and said the real reason. Lavhain the Tanya, isn't this, as we learned, the Pasuk says in Ezra, V'yechina Mizbeach al Mechaynoisov, that in the time of Ezra, they were able to really determine what was the proper size of the Mizbeach. Shigia L'Saif Midaisav, they were able to determine the proper maximum size of the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, is it only in the time of Ezra that they learned the proper dimensions of the Mizbeach? The Ksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say that David HaMelech, there was a plague in Klal Yisrael, and he brought a carbon in the barn of Arna Yavusi, and at that point he realized, and the plague stopped, he realized that that was the Makam HaMikdash, and then he prepared all of the architectural plans for the Beis HaMikdash, and the Pasuk says, Hakol b'ksav mi'yad Hashem alai hiskel, that David HaMelech had a nevuah exactly how the Beis HaMikdash should look, and the Mizbeach. In fact, as we'll discuss more in a moment, we see that the Mizbeach is considered part of the architecture of the Beis HaMikdash. So what did they learn in the time of Ezra that wasn't already taught in the time of David HaMelech? Elam Rabbi Yosef, Kra Ashkech V'Darash. They came to understand the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yom David Zehu Beis Hashem, Halakim, V'zeh Mizbeach L'Oil Yisrael, Kibayis. The Pasuk compares the Mizbeach to the Beis HaMikdash. Ma bayis, just like the Beis HaMikdash, what were the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash? Shishim Amma, 60 Amma. Af Mizbeach, since the Torah compares the Mizbeach to the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk compares the two, similarly, it should be Shishim Amma, it should be 60 Ammas long. And this was the Pasuk that they, in the time of Ezra, came to understand, that was not understood in earlier times, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. And as Mefarshim go on to explain, because the Beis HaMikdash, or any area of Halacha, cannot be determined based on Nevuah, it has to be determined based on what the Torah says, they understood the Pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech did not have that understanding of the Pasuk. And therefore they understood the Pasuk, and this is the way it's clear in the Gemara, that the Mizbeach could be up to 60 Amos long. But as the Mefarshim will explain, it doesn't mean that it has to be 60 Amos long. Because as we said in our introductory remarks, actually it was only 32 Amos long. But it could be a maximum of 60 Amos. And that's what they understood. Shlomo HaMelech did not understand the Pasuk that way. And that's why his Mizbeach was only 28 Amos long. So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. That they made the Mizbeach 32 Amos is, as we just explained, actually it could have been up to 60. They chose to make it 32 because that's what they felt was large enough. But where did Shlomo HaMelech get to the number 28? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that Shlomo HaMelech also understood that the number is 60. But he had a wrong interpretation of the number 60. He understood the number 60 means combining the keves, the ramp, with the Mizbeach. As we learned, and we'll discuss it more later, the keves was 32 amos long. So Shlomo HaMelech said, if the keves is 32 amos, and the Mizbeach will be 28, we got 60. His mistake was that the Mizbeach itself, without the keves, may be 60. Another pshat is that the pasuk that we've been learning now, talks about a maximum of the Mizbeach, as we explained. The maximum is not allowed to be more than 60 amos. What's the minimum? The minimum is 28. That they had, they knew. And Shlomo HaMelech knew that too. Since Shlomo HaMelech really wasn't clear what is the maximum, but he knew the minimum is 28, he made the Mizbeach 28 to be safe. A third shot that I saw goes back to something that we discussed at the end of the previous year, that we know that the Gemara pointed out that this was one of the differences between the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash Rishon and the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. The Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, they had the Shisin, the place where they poured the Yayin and the Mayim on the Mizbeach proper. The Beis HaMikdash Rishon, they had it on the side of the Mizbeach. So Shlomo HaMelech had to build the Mizbeach that it should end, that the wall of the Mizbeach should be right next to the place where they poured the water. If you make the Mizbeach 28 amos long, that's where it'll be. So that's how Shlomo HaMelech came to the number 28. So the Gemara continues to discuss what they did, how they erected the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. It says the Gemara Bishlam Bayis, when it came to build the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, Minkarat Sarasai, as Mefarshim explained, the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was a large edifice. It had a very serious foundation. So you were able to see, even though it was unfortunately destroyed, they were able to see where the foundation originally was and build the Beis HaMikdash on that spot. Ask the Gemara, El Mizbeach Mino Yadi. The Mizbeach, as the Mashal explains, even if it had a foundation, given it wasn't such a large and big edifice, it didn't have such a serious foundation. And after 70 years of Golus, the foundation was no longer recognizable. So how did they know where to build the Mizbeach? Answers the Gemara, a number of terutzim. The first terutz, Amar Belezer, Ra Mizbeach Boni, M'choil Asar HaGodl Oymer Markov Olav. As we know, we all know, there's a Beis HaMikdash Lamala, there's a Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim, M'chuvin to the Beis HaMikdash Lamata, and they saw exactly where the Mizbeach was in the Beis HaMikdash Lamala, and they knew to build the Beis HaMikdash Lamata corresponding to that. Because M'chol, even up to this very day, brings kabbonis on that Beis HaMikdash, on that Mizbeach. There's a machlokes rishonim, what exactly is Machol makriv on that Mizbeach in Shemayim? Some say he's makriv kvosim shalesh, animals made out of fire. Other rishonim say he's makriv on that Mizbeach nishmaseim shal tzadikim, the neshamas of tzadikim. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, afrei she Yitzchak ro shemunach ba'isim makom. We know that that was the place where Yitzchak had the Akedah, and they saw the ash of Yitzchak, so they knew that that's the spot of the Mizbeach. So obviously all the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Yitzchak Avinu wasn't burnt. At the end, the Malach told Avraham Avinu not to burn Yitzchak. So how did they see the afresh of Yitzchak, the ash of Yitzchak? There's no ash to see. So one shot I saw is from a Pirkei der Belezer. An interesting medrash. The medrash says that actually Yitzchak was burnt. And after he was burnt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechayim Mesa him, and all the Malachim saying Baruch Atah Hashem, the bracha that we say three times a day, Mechayim HaMesim. So Yitzchak was burnt, and that was the ash that they saw. Another pshat, which the Brisker Rav says, is that we know, the Rashi says in Chumash, and we actually, some of us who say Kabbonis every day, say it in the Rabbani Shalom, that as Avram Avinu, the Malach told Avram Avinu, V'yikach his isle, to take the isle in the place of Yitzchak. And the Rashi says, as Avram Avinu was doing the Avodah with the isle, he took the isle, he said, it's like I'm taking my son Yitzchak. He shechted the isle, he said, it's like shechting Yitzchak. Every step of the way, he said, this is like Yitzchak. Says the Brisker Rav, when a Jew does an Avodah with a real Kavana, with a proper Kavana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that Avodah as if it actually happened. And if somebody's bringing an animal, but he has in mind, it should be me, it should be my son, it's actually happening in God's eyes. And that's why it was Afrei Shel Yitzchak, very available. Another pshat, Rashmuma Nachmeni says, another pshat, Bikol HaBayis Kulay, in the spot where the Beis HaMikdash was originally, Hiriyuchu Reyach K'tayris, they smelled the Reyach of the K'tayris, Visham, on the spot where the Mizbeach, Harichu Reich Evarim. They smelled the smell of Evarim as they're being burnt. There's a very sharp revart from the Pnei Menachem. He says, in a place where you smell Reich Evarim, so he says homiletically, Evarim doesn't mean the Evarim, the organs of an animal. That means the Evarim of a person. In a place where Jews with Maisa Nefesh, when you find a place that this was the place where Jews were Maisa Nefesh, that's the place that you should build a Mizbeach. That is a holy place. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shloish Neviim Ole Imam Megoyla. As Ezra is building the base of Migdash Sheni, three Neviim came up with them from Golus. Chag Zachari Malachi. Echad Shehed Lehem HaMizbeach. One told them the size of the Mizbeach. Echad Shehed Lehem HaMokam HaMizbeach. One said the location, the Eidus where the Mizbeach should be located. Ve'echad Shehed Lehem. And one said Eidus Shemekriven Alpi She'en Bayis. That we could be Makriv Kabanis even though there is no Bayis. So, there's a very serious machlokes here, how to understand the Gemara. Because if you recall, earlier in our shiur we said that you can't build a base of Migdash based on Nevuah. It has to be based on a Pasuk. And here we have all of this Nevuah. So some Farshim indeed suggest that it wasn't a Nevuah. And it's actually evident in the words of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say Echad Shenibah Lehem. He said Nevuah. The Gemara says Shehed Lehem. It was an Eidus. It wasn't a Nevuah. Whereas other Mefarshim I saw suggest that when it comes to something like the Beis HaMikdash, we may rely on Nevuah. So Mefarshim say that the Gemara here says that what was the third Nevuah? That you're allowed to bring Kabbonis even though there is no Beis HaMikdash. Why? It's based on a halacha concept that we've discussed. Kedush Rishayna, Kitsh Lashata, the Kitsh Lasalavai. The Kedush remains forever. Even though, as we have learned, there is a serious machlokes many places in Shas. If the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael remains, the Kedusha of the Mizbeach, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim remains. And the Mefarshim tried to understand why is there a distinction between the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, which our Gemara says remains, and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which is debatable. So one pshat that I saw is because Yerushalayim has a mechitza, has a wall around it. That wall brought a more permanent level of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael didn't have a wall all around of Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat, based on a pasuk that we discussed in our previous year, Yerushalayim, the pasuk calls Menucha, Yerushalayim, the pasuk calls Nachla, and since it's called all of these very powerful titles, that's why its Kedusha remains forever. Whereas Eretz Yisrael is not called Menucha v'Nachla. A third pshat, very nice pshat, is what caused Kedusha to Yerushalayim? And what brought Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael? The Kedusha that was brought to Eretz Yisrael was brought through Kibush. They captured the land. And unfortunately, we know you win wars and you lose wars. So that Kedusha, which came through Kibush, expired when they were expelled from Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim did not come through a Kibush. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim came through the Shechina being in Yerushalayim. Shechina can never be expelled. Can never expire. And that's why the Kedusha of Yerushalayim remains forever. So obviously the question is, if our Gemara says that the Chag Zechari Malachi, these great Nevi'im, taught us, Makrivim Apish Emezbeach, that we could bring a carbon even though if there's no Mizbeach, so why don't we bring Kabbalas nowadays? So the Paiskim give many reasons. One reason is, because they were able to actually determine the exact spot of the Mizbeach. We aren't able to determine the exact spot of the Mizbeach. Another pshat that I saw is that we're all Tamei Mesim. And even though we've learned, we've discussed this many times, the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, say to Paiskim that when do we apply the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur? Only when we also have the Tzitz. We learned the concept of Tzitz Meratza. A combination of the Tzitz, the Kohen Gadol wearing the Tzitz, that is Mechaper if a carbon is brought to Tumah. We don't have a Tzitz. And therefore, we don't use the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. A third pshat is because we don't have the Big Day Kahuna, because we're not even sure what the Tchelis is. Without Tchelis, you can't have Big Day Kahuna. A fourth problem is that we don't really know who's exactly a Kohen. We don't have clear Yichus on the Kohanim. So because of these reasons, we don't bring a carbon B'Zman Hazeh. Furthermore, the Brisker Rav says, he says, but actually it's a Rambam, says that this entire discussion in our Gemara that it's possible to bring Kabbonis even though there is no Beis HaMikdash, is certainly only regarding Kabbonis that all of the avoid of the carbon is on the Mizbeach HaChitzin. But a carbon whose avoid is on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, certainly if we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, there's no ben zbech apnimi, and those kabbonis which include the avoid of Yom Kippur cannot take place nowadays. There's a very beautiful vart that I saw. The Rambam, when he discusses the Mizbeach, brings a whole history. He says the place where the Mizbeach was in near the Beis HaMikdash is the place where Adam HaRishon brought a carbon. It's the place where Noach brought a carbon. It's the place where the Akedah took place. And he goes through a whole history of all the various historical events that took place at that spot. And the Mefarshim ask, the Rambam is a halacha sefer. It's not a history book. So why is the Rambam giving us this whole history? So Mefarshim say it's based on this Gemara. What does our Gemara teach us? Makrivim apishei mezbeach. That you could bring a carbon even though there is no mezbeach. And the question is, why? Don't you need a mezbeach? And that was the question that was bothering the Rambam. So the Rambam says, if you have a spat, that spat was so many times in the history of Klal Yisrael used for such important events, those events imbue that spat with Kedusha. That's why the Rambam gives us the whole history of all the various events that took place at that spat, to teach us that spat is a Makom Kadosh. You know why it's a Makom Kadosh? Because all of those things that happen on that Makom Kadosh. And that's why Makriv and Apishei Mizbeach, you don't need a Mizbeach. The spat itself already has Kedusha. Continues the Gemara. B'masnisa Tana, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Shlosh Nevi'im Olam Emim in a Goyla. Again, three Nevi'im came with them from the Golas. Echot Shehein LeMizbeach V'Makom Mizbeach. One said the size of Mizbeach and the location of Mizbeach. Echod Shehelehem Shemakrivim Apishayim Bayis. One said that you could bring a carbon even though there is no Beis HaMikdash, as we discussed. Echod Shehelehem Atayrush Dikasev Ashurus. That the Torah should now be written Biksav Ashurus. Poshup Shalim the Gemara. Actually, this is a discussion. But Poshup Shalim the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin, we discussed this also. Originally, the Torah was written in a different script. It was written B'Ksav Ivri. Ezra, when he came, changed the script from K'sav Ivri to K'sav Ashurus. K'sav Ashurus is the script that we know the Sifrei Torah are written. That's Posh Pshat. Actually, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to change that not only should it be written in K'sav Ashuri, but it should also be written in Aramis, to which Ezra did not agree. He said it should be Lashon Kodesh B'Ksav Ashurus. And as Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out, based on this, it turns out the day that Ezra changed the script from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashurus, all of the Sefer Torah and Tefillin Mezuzah became possible, because it was no longer usable. Actually, the Mefarshim go on to say, this is shot in a famous Medrash. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemayim, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu writing, putting crowns on some of the letters of the Torah. You know the letters Shatnas Gatz all have crowns. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, why are you doing this? He said that there is going to be a Tana, Rabbi Kiva, Shasa Lidrash Tilei Tilim Shal Halachas Al Kol Tag V'Tag. He's going to learn so many halachas from every crown. What was Hashem saying to Moshe Rabbeinu? What was Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, now you're receiving the Torah Ksav Ivri. In Ksav Ivri, there are no tagin, there are no crowns. But when Ezra, as Al Gemara teaches us, will come, he's going to switch from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashuris, which do have crowns, and Rekiva will then come and learn halachas from those crowns. Another pshat is that the Torah was originally given in Ksav Ashuris, it was then forgotten to Ksav Ivri, and then it came back in the time of Ezra to Ksav Ashuris. And a third pshat is that originally there was Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ashuris was only written, was only used for Sifrei Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos. Ksav Ivri was, like we have two scripts in Hebrew, Ksav Ivri was used for every day, and Ezra made Ksav Ashuris more popular. Tana Rabbanan continues the Gemara. Terem Keves for Yisoid. The halacha that the Mizbeach has to have a corners, and a ramp, and a base, and ribuah, that it must be a square, ma'akfin, are absolutely essential. And without that, the mizbeach is possible. However, midas ochoy, midas rochvoy, midas kamosoy, the length, the width, the height, aim ma'akfin, are not essential. Menonimili, ask the Gemara, from where do we know this? Of huna makra, because regarding all of these things that we said are essential, the Torah says the word Hamizbech with the extra hay to teach us. Kol makom shenema Hamizbech, wherever Torah uses the word Hamizbech, la'akiv. That means it's absolutely essential. It's very interesting. I usually don't like to say Rambams because we could never finish. There's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam, when he quotes the halachas in Mizbeach, mentions that all of these halachas that we just discussed are ma'akif. So ask the Mefarshim on the Rambam. Here the Gemara gives two lists. How does the Rambam combine them all to be ma'akif? So I saw from Rabbi Leib Malin a beautiful teretz. He says there are two components in understanding the Mizbeach. One is that the Mizbeach is part of the Beis HaMikdash, and one is that the Mizbeach has rules of the Mizbeach. Actually, as we learned in our previous shir, the halach is you can be makrav on the Mizbeach even though you don't have a Mishkan. So as far as Hilchus Mizbeach is concerned, so the Gemara makes a distinction. Where the Torah uses the word HaMizbeach, it's essential. Where the Torah doesn't use the word HaMizbeach, it's not essential. But as far as the Mizbeach being part of the Mishkan, part of the Mikdash, all the rules are absolutely essential. Ask the Gemara. The Torah, as we're going to learn in a second, speaks about a karkov on the Mizbeach. Machloikas tanoim, what is the karkov? One man Dama says that the karkov is the ledge on which the Kohanim worked. The other man Dama says the karkov is the lattice work. They had like lattice work on the Mizbeach. Ela me'ato, ki el Rebbe. According to Rebbe, the karkov is this lattice work. V'sovev le Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, it's the ledge. Hachan nam de makiv. They ought to be absolutely the essential. The Ksibah, because the Torah says regarding the Karkov, Nosata Oisei Takov HaMizbeach Momata, the Torah uses the word HaMizbeach. The Tanya, as we just learned, the Brisa says, Ezo Karkov, what is the Karkov? Rebbe Yom Zakiya, this is the lattice work of Yosef Yehudaima Zas Soiviv, it's the ledge. So why isn't it included in the list of essential parts in Mizbeach? Answer the Gemara, in. Indeed, it is essential. The Tanya, as the Gemara says in Masech Tesukah, on Sukkot, I'll describe the event in a moment. The corner of the Mizbeach was damaged. They brought a pile of salt to cover up that gap. Not because a pile of salt is to replace the corner. That the Mizbeach should not look like it was damaged. For the halacha says the Gemara is, Shakal Mizbeach she'en like Karen, the keves v'yisoyiv v'ribua, posel. Yosef Yehuda Omer, afa soyiv. Why the soyiv? Because according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the soyiv is the karkov, and the Torah says the words HaMizbeach regarding the karkov, so the karkov, according to him, the soyiv, according to other mandam, the lattice work, are indeed absolutely essential. What is the event that the Gemara is referring to? We learned the Gemara Masech Tesukah. The Gemara Masech Tesukah says as follows. We know, we just discussed this, we'll discuss it again, that we did Nisach HaMayim. Every day of Sukkot, they poured water on the Mizbeach. The Tzedakim did not believe in Nisach HaMayim, because it's not explicitly in the Torah. They only believe in Torah Shebiksav. So there was a Kohen from the Tzedakim who took the water and poured it on the floor, not in the Shisin, not in the proper spot, as we discussed in our previous shir. And the Gemara says, V'regmur kola'am besrigayim. Everybody threw the esrogim at them. So as Mefarshim explained, throwing esrogim at a kohen will not do any damage to the kohen, will not do any damage to the mizbeach. The esrog is a soft fruit. They also threw stones. So why did the Gemara say that they threw esrogim? The Gemara says they threw esrogim to teach us another halacha. Then when was the nisach hamayim done? It was done in the morning. Because when do people take the esrog? When do you take your dalamidim? In the morning. So too, that they do Nisach HaMayim in the morning. But they also threw stones, and that's what damaged the Kohen and damaged the Mizbeach that they had to bring the salt. Tanabon says the Gemara, Ezu Karkov, what indeed is the Karkov? Ben Karen LeKaren, it's the spot, it's the area between the corners, Makam Hilach Raglakanam, the place where the Kohanim walk. Amma, which is an Amma wide. Ask the Gemara, immediately, Ota Kahanim ben Karen LeKaren have a Azli, that the Kahanim walk between the corners. They can't walk between the corners, because what's going to happen? If they're going to walk between the corners, when they hit a corner, what are they going to do? Ela Ema, rather, Umakim Rigle, Hiluch Regle Kahanim Amma. Besides that the Amma width, which is the area between the corners, there was another Amma, which was the area where the Kahanim, when they had to be on top of the Mizbeach, should walk. And that's called the Karkov. And the wall of the Mizbeach, as we'll see in a moment, served as a ledge that the Kohanim, as they're walking on top of the Mizbeach, shouldn't slip and Chas V'Shalom fall off. So we see that the Karkov, this Bryce is teaching us, is the area on top of the Mizbeach where the Kohanim walked. But ask the Gemara, haven't we just learned V'Ksiv Tachas HaKakuva L'matim Chetzya, that the Karkov is on the side of the Mizbeach, whether it's the lattice work or the Soiviv, so how can we say that the Karkov is the area on top of the Mizbeach? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Treyhava. There were two Karkovs. Chad Hav L'Noi. One was the area on the side of the Mizbeach, which was the lattice work, the Kiyar. The Chad, and the other area, as we just explained, was the area on top of the Mizbeach L'Kahanim, the Loi Nistarku, that they shouldn't be able to Chas V'Shalom slip and fall off the Mizbeach. So we learned, says the Gemara, that the Midas Arka and the Midas Rachma and Midas Kamasai, the length and the width and the height, Ein Ma'akvim, are not Ma'akv. Amar Rav Mani, Ovad, even though the actual dimensions are not essential, Ovad Shiyaschena Mizbeach Sh'Oysa Moshe. You can't make a Mizbeach smaller than the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made. The Kama, how large was the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made? Om Rav Yosef, it was an Amma. Says the Gemara Machkala. As Rav Yosef made this comment, people laughed at him. They said, doesn't it say in the Chumash, Chumash Amas Eirich, or Chumash Amas Roichiv, Revu Yim Mizbeach? So the Torah says that the Mizbeach was 5 Ammas. How are you saying that the Mizbeach was only 1 Amma? Om Abaya, responded Abaya in explaining what Rav Yosef meant. Dilma, Mokim Arocha Kamar. What he meant was not the entire dimension of Mizbeach. The Mokim Arocha was only an Amma. Why was it only an Amma? It's connected to the previous piece of Gemara. Because in the previous piece of Gemara, we learned that the area where the Kohanim walked was 2 Ammas wide. So if the entire width of the Mizbeach is 5 Ammas, and on each side you have 2 Ammas for the Kohanim, you're left with 1 Amma. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef heard Abaya explain his position properly, so he said as follows, Mar, you, the Gavur Rabba, who you're a great individual, you're the Mike Kamina. You understand what I mean. Karilayu, but the other people who didn't understand what I said, they're B'nai Keturah. So Mefarshim asked, why they call B'nai Keturah? So Rashi, in this way, the Mefarshim explain what Rashi means, says as follows. We know who are the B'nai Keturah. The B'nai Keturah are the children of Hagar. The Avram's children, but the children of Hagar. The Aloch is, and the Rambam says that this is a Din Midaraisa, that B'nai Keturah, the Arabs, are mechuyev to have Mila Midaraisa. So if you look at a B'nai Keturah, and you look at a Jew, they look at the same. We both are Gemalot. But there's a very big difference between us. We're Jews, and they aren't. So he says, maybe on the outside, all of you sitting here in the yeshiva look the same. But Abaya is a great individual. The others are just like the B'nai Keturah. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, is that we learned in the previous shiurim that the halacha is that you don't necessarily have to do, the halacha is, even if you did the zriko, you did part of the avoida, the aktar of the emrim on the floor on the ritzpah of the Azara, it's considered fine. So it said you consider B'nai Keturah. You know why it's considered B'nai Keturah? Because you could do the Keturah. Keturah is Lashon Keturah. Could be done anywhere in the Azara. Says the Gemara, interesting episode. B'nai Achsei the Reb Tarfon, Reb Tarfon's nephews, Haviyasri Kamei the Reb Tarfon, was sitting by Reb Tarfon, Pasach for Omar. So he began with saying the following Pasach. We know what the Pasach says, V'yoysa Avram v'yikach isha shema yoichni. So they all jumped on him. Amalei, Ketariksev. The Torah says that Rav Avinu took another wife. It wasn't Yoichni, it was Keturah. Karlei, so he called him B'nai Keturah. So all the Mefarshim try to understand what's happening here in the Gemara. Again, the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is as follows. Rav Tarfon's Talmid, Rav Tarfon's nephews were sitting by his shir. But they were sitting there, not opening their mouth. The Talmud has to engage the Rebbe. So he said that you're like the B'nai Keturah. He wanted them to say the word Keturah. So he ordered that they should say that you are like the B'nai Keturah. You're sitting here by the shir, but just like the Arabs with the Mila, don't make them into Jews. Talmidim that don't engage in the shir aren't real Talmidim. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw, Ramey Shapiro says this pshat. Very powerful pshat. Ramey Shapiro says this pshat. He says, the Gemara says, who was Yoichni? Yoichni was a machshefa. She was a sorceress. What she used to do was as follows. when a woman was supposed to go, when a woman was in labor, she would do kishif to prevent the woman from having the child. And then they would go to her, and she would do, and she would undo her kishif, and they would have the child, and give her the credit. Says Ramey Shapiro, that so too was Hagar, who was Keturah Hagar. That even though we know that Hagar, the Pasuk says, Maseh Keturah, she was, her actions were like Keturah, were as pleasing as Keturah. But the Pasuk also says, V'telech V'tesa B'midbar. Rashi says, Shaholchu back to the Avodah Zarah. So what happened here was, he was saying that Hagar is considered like Yoichni. That's all a fraud. And they protested. How do you call Hagar like Yoichni? So he said, look at the B'nai Keturah. If you have a question about a person, is he for real? Is he not for real? What's the determining factor? Karlei B'nai Keturah, look at the children. If you see that he raised good children, that's a proof who he is. And if not, there's a question who he is. Another pshat, a different pshat altogether. It's more of a halacha than a pshat. The halacha is, Tarish B'ksav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. So here he was saying a pasik, but he wasn't saying it from a chumash. That's why he had to change the word from Keturah to Yoichni. Another pshat, give you all types of pshatim, is more of a chesidah shavart. The Avodas Yisrael, the Avodas Yisrael is the Kajnit Samagit, says pshat in the Gemara as follows. He said the right spelling of the Gemara is not with a ches, it's with a chof, Yoichni, from the word achana. And it goes back to the pshat that we said earlier. He was saying a shir, and the Talmidim was sitting there just listening, not engaged. So he says, Ushma Yoichni, with a chof, hachana. If you want to be successful in your learning, hachana, you have to be engaged in the shir, you have to prepare for the shir, otherwise you remain b'nei keturah. Amar Abaye bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya. Gezir in Sh'os HaMoshe, the logs that Moshe Rabbeinu put on the Mizbeach, Orkan Amma were Amma long, V'rochvan Amma were an Amma wide, V'ovyer Memachi Gedush. The thickness was they used to have a utensil, let's say you have a heaping pile, and you want to flatten it out, they had this called Kamacha Gadisa. Omer Yimaya, but when you used it, when they measured this Amma, it was done by Amma Geduma. Amma Geduma means that we know that typically an Amma is made out of 6 Tefachim. Here they had a 5 Tefach Amma. Why? Omer Yosef explains the Gemara, V'lav Hayinu D'Tanya, because this is what the Braisa says. The Pasuk says, Ala Eitzim Eshal Eish Eshal Mizbeach Shle Yeitzim Yeitzim in the Mizbeach Klum. So if you're going to have too long of a log, it's going to protrude from the Mizbeach and it could hurt somebody walking by. Ask the Brisker Rav, but we know there were 2 logs. So if there were 2 logs, and we learned in Amud Aleph that the entire area was only 1 Amma, so how could they have 2 logs? You don't have enough place for the 2 logs. So there are 2 explanations. One explanation is that they didn't put the 2 logs next to each other. They put the 2 logs one on top of the other. So you didn't need more than an amma. Or another pshat, when the Gemara says that it was an amma, it doesn't mean that each log itself was an amma. It means that the 2 logs combined were an amma. Tanan Hassam. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Masech the Midas. Keves Hayul Dremesh Mizbeach. The ramp was to the south side of Mizbeach. Oirech Shloish Mishtayim. It was 32 amas long, a roichiv sheish esrei, by a width of 16. Ask the Gemara, Omer Menani Mili, how do we know that that's where the kevis was? Omer Funa Makra, the shachar oisa yerech mizbeach tzofen. So the compiler compares the kevis to the yerech, just like there's a person's feet and the person's head. She yerech b'tzofen par b'darm. If the person is laying down, his feet are in one direction, and his face is in another direction. So here too, the feet, the kevis was to the south, and the mizbeach was to the north. Ask the Gemara, Ema, perhaps the way the mizbeach was yerech b'tzofen upon a b'tzofen, that it was all to the tzofen side. Amarava, Rami Gavra Aapi. The way to look at the mizbeach is like a person is laying down, as I just said. Amar Abaya asks Abaya to Rava, Ema Tritz v'Isav Gavra. Maybe the way to look at the person is that he's sitting or standing, and therefore his feet and his head are in the same direction. Amalei, Ravu Ksiv. And the Gemara has explained that Ravu means laying. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what Ravu means? When we boil the Mabri Meruvi, don't we need it to teach us that the Mizbeach was a square? answers the Gemara, Miksiv Merubah. If the Torah was trying to teach us that the Mizbeach must be a square, the Torah should have said the word Merubah. Ask the Gemara with Tameich, Miksiv Rovitz. You're saying that the Pasuk means that the Mizbeach was like somebody's laying. The Torah doesn't use the word Rovitz. The Torah uses the word Revuah. Amalei, Revuah Ksiv Demash Mahachim, Mash Mahachim. Which means as follows. If the Torah wanted just to teach us that the Mizbeach should be a square, the Torah should have used the word Merubah. If the Torah just wanted to teach us that the Mizbeach should look with the Kevis and the Dorim and the Mizbeach to the Tzofen, the Torah should have used the word Rovitz. The Torah specifically, deliberately, used the word Revuah, which teaches us both halachas. Says the Gemara, the Tanya Maisle Mehocha, the other Tanya learns it from this Limud, that we know that that's how the Kevis and the Mizbeach look. The Tanya Behuda Omer, or Malois upon of Kodam. Call Pinashat the Paina, and I'm not going to go into this too much, we'll learn this more later in the parak. Call Pinashat the Paina, whenever you go up on the Mizbeach, when you make a turn, you should always make a right turn. And that right turn should be Lemizrach. How will you accomplish that? It'll be if the Mizbeach, if the Kevis is on the south side. Vayim a small Lemizrach. Maybe it means you should make a left turn to put you on the towards the Mizrach. It doesn't make sense. It's not proper to say that you should make left turns. The Tani Ramin Bacheskia. Yam Sha'asa Shlomi. Shlomi Melech made this large pool in the Azara. Oymen al Shneis Asabakar. It looked like it was standing on 12 copper animals. Shlosh Panim Tzvayna. Shlosh Panim Yimayna. 3 to the north. 3 to the west. Shlosh Panim Negba. 3 to the south. Shlosh Panim Mizracha. Why specifically this order? Because you follow this order, which is counterclockwise, to teach us, that whenever you make a turn, to learn from here, you should always make a right turn towards the Mizrach. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what the Pasuk is teaching us? Isn't that Pasuk Hanhumi Bari Lugufe, just to teach us that that's what Shlomo Melech put up in the Mizbeah, in the Azara? Answers the Gemara, if that's all the Pasuk was here to teach us, why does the Pasuk keep on repeating the word Pine and Pinem, Lamali, to teach us, besides to teach us how this Yam Shasa Shlaima looked, it's also here to teach us the halacha of Kalpina Shatapina, Lehei Eliamin. Continues the Gemara, Shah Rav Shim ben Yosef ben Lukunya. Farshim said that this was actually one of the last Tanoim who served as a member of the Bezdin of Rebbe, we know was one of the last Talmidim. Ask Rav Yosi, I'm Rav Shim ben Yechai, Aver Yesh ben Kevis Lumazbech, there was an ear space between the Kevis and Mizbeach. Omloiv, Ata, Iata, Oimikain, do you not agree? Va'aloik va'nema, doesn't the Pasuk say, va'asisa oila secha, habos va'adam, ma'adam bezrika, just like we know how was the dam put on the Mizbeach, through Zrika's Adam, afbos bezrika. Like the Mepharshim explained, even though as we're going to learn, the space between the Kevis and the Mizbeach was really a very small space. But what was the purpose of that space? Teach us that you should throw, to always remind us that how is the meat supposed to arrive on the Mizbeach by being thrown on it. Amalai, so I say no, Shani, I'm with Sad Marok of Azirik. That he doesn't stand on the Kevis and throw, he stands on the side and throws. Amalai, so he said to him, Kushu Zirik, when somebody's throwing fire, something into the fire, Lamak Mrocha de Luka Zirik, does he throw it to the part where there's a fire? The answer is obviously you throw it into the fire, so because you wanted to get it burned. Says the Gemara, there's no option. But here we don't have to throw it into the marocha, stand on the kevis. Rav Papa Amar, how do we know there was a space between the kevis and the mizbeach? Because we compare it to the dam. Ma dam avik karp mifsikoi. Because how did they do the Zrikas Adam? They stood a little distant from the Mizbeach and threw the dam to the Mizbeach. Af Basar, Af Karka Mafsikoi, the Karka between the Kevis and the Mizbeach. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Actually, before I go further, there's a fantastic from Sefer. The Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, says that one is supposed to be very careful how he treats food. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says, especially comes Shabbos, when somebody makes a hamotzi and he has a large group of people sitting by the table, he should be very careful. I guess it's proper manners anyway, not to throw the challah, but to pass the challah to every member of your family who is joining you in the Lechem Mishnah. The Chasam Sofer's minik was that he threw the challah. Which is based on our Gemara. Because he says the Mizbeach, the Shulchan HaShadam is similar to a Mizbeach, especially the Shulchan of Shabbos. And our Gemara says that the meat that was thrown onto the Mizbeach was thrown onto the Mizbeach. So he says, and the people that have this minig, obviously, they just throw the challah to remind us of the meat being thrown on the Mizbeach. Again, everybody should follow their own minig. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Huda. Shnei kvasim ketanim yoytzim in a keves. Besides the large keves, the large ramp that led up to the Mizbeach, there were two smaller ramps. Shebehem ponim liyisoydu l'soyviv. As Rashi explains, there were two ramps. One went downward, which was to go to the Yisoyd, and one went upwards if somebody had to go on to the Soiviv. Why did they have to have a special ramp? So the Rashita explains, because we're very concerned that the blood should not congeal. So if you're going to have to walk down the entire ramp and then walk along the length of the ramp to get back to do the Zrika on the corner of the Mizbeach, we're concerned that the blood will congeal. So they made the small ramp. You could get to the corner quickly before the blood should congeal. The Yaivitz along the same line says we want to always get to do a mitzvah as quickly as possible, so they made the special ramp. Umavdilan min Mizbeach, but they were sort of separated from the Mizbeach, Meloy Nima, a drop. Why? Mishim Shenema Soviv. The Mizbeach should be perfectly square, and if they'll be connected to the Mizbeach, you'll be missing a perfectly square. Rabbi Vuama, how do we know the Mizbeach has to be a perfect square? Because the Pasuk says Revua. So the obvious question, we have two words that teach us the same halacha, that the Mizbeach should be a square. Soviv and Revua. Why do we need two words to teach us the same halacha? Answers the Gemara. Vitzach l'michtav Soviv, vitzach l'michtav Revua. We need both words to teach us that the Mizbeach was a square. Dikas rachman Soviv, have a mean of the ugl magl. It's enough that the Mizbeach should be round, just nothing attached to it. Kas rachman Revua. Vikas rachman Revua, if the Torah said the word Revua, have a mean of the orch v'katan. Revua doesn't mean that it has to be a perfect four edge. It could be long and narrow, as long as you have four words. Kas rachmanas soviv. Tanan hosam. Hakevis mizbeach shishim v'shtayim. It was a total of 62. Ask the Gemara, based on the Gemara that we've been learning, hanishitim v'arba. Why? Because the kevis was 32 amas long, and we've been learning that the mizbeach was 32. 32 plus 32 is 64, not 62. Answer the Gemara, Nimtza Perech al Amma al Yisoyv Amma al Soyviv. The Mizbeach protruded the Amma over the Yisoyv and the Soyviv, and that's how you had an overlap of two Ammas. Amma Rama Bachava. Kol Kivsei Kvasim Sholosh Ammas L'Amma. Whenever you have a ramp, the usual incline was an incline for every height of an Amma, there was three Ammas incline. Except for the ramp that led up to the top of the Mizbeach, it was a much less of a steep incline. Why was it a smaller incline? Explain the Rishonim, because the Kohanim were carrying the Kabbonis, they were heavy. We didn't want them to walk on a steep incline and Chas V'Shalom fall and drop the Kabbonis.